probably accurate that nobody's going to do that. It is too, like, obviously it's tough to compare Canada in this tournament because they're not eligible to play in the tournament, but
I'm just saying
when Iceland, is Canada's comeuppance, right?
Iceland is in this giant football tournament. Nobody expect, what's the story? The manager's a part-time dentist?
Yeah.
Right?
For Iceland, yeah.
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 But yet, you know, we can't get out of our own way. On the men's side, the women. Yeah.
Women's side is.
God love them.
Going strong.
They're a world power, medal winners in the Olympics. But yeah, we want this, don't we? Don't we want this?
I think it would be cool.
Wouldn't it? I mean, because Copa is.
I've never lived with it in my life. I was two when they were in their only World Cup.
In Mexico.
And I've never.
And I remember that.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. I mean, they weren't winning anything, but it was a big deal.
They didn't score a
goal.
And
that was, you know, obviously that was barely into color television, you know, let alone the internet and the social media world.
1986.
Well, okay. But you know what I'm saying.
Slight exaggeration. But
you'd imagine what it would be like now.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
But how big a deal would it be if Canada were to be in the World Cup?
Huge. Hugest. As Donald Trump says it, biggest. Biggie. The biggest. The hugest.
Would it be, okay. Would it be on par with the, and I'm just going to throw out a couple of different couple of different levels.
Yes.
On par nationwide with the Raptors. Bigger?
Huge. Oh, much, much bigger.
Blue Jays?
Much bigger.
Really?
Yes.
And
it would draw bigger. It would draw bigger than the Stanley Cup final. Dare I say it would draw bigger than the Stanley Cup final.
The Stanley Cup final with a Canadian team in it? Vancouver or
non-original six Canadian team. Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be huge, Pat. I think it'd be huge.
I don't dispute that. I just don't know. I got, because I've never seen
how
it.
Would how
I
do
have
we?
No idea.
I'm saying it would be that big, but I don't know.
Bigger than the World Cup of hockey that we're about to see?
Oh. That's Pass.
Okay.
Because I'm.
It doesn't matter. We're never going to see it in our lifetime. So.
Oh, now you've done it. That's not right.
It's a legitimate fear of mine because I want to see it so bad. It's a legitimate fear of mine because everybody you talk to talks about just how dysfunctional it is on the men's side.
Oh,
and how
absolutely.
It's just a complete and utter mess. They can't get out of their own way.
You know what they are, Pat? They're underdogs. Would you select them? For Pat Steinberg. I've only worked with you forever. Pat Steinberg's underdog of the week?
I think that they could be a candidate at some point.
Maybe leave Brittany alone, guys. Underdog of the week?
Did you ever find the clip?
All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human!
Yeah, you're right.
What you don't realize is that Brittany's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her. She hasn't performed on stage in years. Her song is called Give Me More for a reason, because all you people want is more, 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 more! Leave her alone!
Okay, that's...
Brittany alone!
No, Pat, I think you hit...
That's
funny. I think you nailed it. I'm trying to read the liner, but it does beg a contest, doesn't it? Like, who is this?
Poor Scotty Roberts is listening to this right now. Which one was that? What was that laugh? Oh.
That's my favorite part is the Pat. Remember this one, Rob?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's right. That was when...
Pat, are you there?
No.
Pat,
that was
are you
when,
there?
When I the Counting Crows started playing on my phone, and I'm like, oh, I cut. No, no. Oh, I just went down the ride and...
All right. Annie.
I think that first scream is better.
Anyhow. Pat Steinberg's underdog of the week. Sportsnet 960 The Fan and Original 16 Beer invite you to cheer for the underdog. You're going to choose a game of the week where an underdog will be playing.
Then you'll invite listeners to text the name of the team to the that the underdog belongs to 960-960 in order to be entered to win a gift basket from the Great Western Brewing Company. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did I capture the spirit of it?
Captured the spirit of it.
Okay. Free agency in the National Hockey League 3 days away, and there is no shortage of possibilities. But maybe, just maybe, we've reached a tipping point. When we come back, we'll explain. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Well, the courting period is underway in the National Hockey League. Milan Lucic, Jason Demers find themselves up in Edmonton. Steve Stamkos, though, I think is probably the prize in all of this. And I said when we were going to break, maybe, just maybe, we're getting to a tipping point. Here's Chris Johnston and Darren Millard of Sportsnet.
I was told that as a hint that the Dark Horse team was in a warm weather market, which is one of the reasons that, you know, obviously I was fished around and don't think it's Florida. But then if you go through the other ones, you know, there's not an aching need and a $10 to $12 million window to fit them in. I mean, Arizona would be the only one that would have the money, and I don't see that being the
idea,
fit.
Hey, that's the one, right?
I mean...
And John Chyka has been extremely aggressive in his first go around through a draft and this period.
It's a long shot, but maybe that's the dark horse that's looming out there that no one's really been talking about.
Aha! The Arizona Coyotes and Steve Stamkos, Pat. You heard it here first. I guess second.
No, third.
Third?
Will Nault brought it up.
Will Nault?
Yeah.
The Will Nault?
Will Nault, the outstanding producer of The Big Show, brought that up in the 1 o'clock
hour. Oh, man. I thought I had something on you guys.
Now, when Will brought it up, that was the first time I'd heard it, though.
So okay.
It is a novel concept for me.
And Will, where did you get it from? Your sources?
Just my own head and the cap space, because I think they can make the biggest pitch.
Just your own head. Just your own head.
I like your head, Will.
Has anybody else noticed that it's gotten very dark? Very, very dark.
Oh, it's very ominous downtown Calgary right now.
Very, very dark.
I feel like Independence Day.
Now, maybe that's why we're talking about Stamkos going to Arizona. That's why it's all of a sudden got very dark around here. So that came up in your head, eh, Will? You just put two and two together.
I put it together because the fact they have a lot of cap space and they look like they're trying to move in a different direction. And I think on the ice with a young core, that's a pitch that may be enticing to one Steven Stamkos.
And you're very smart. That's also
okay. You know.
Well, we did hear reporting that they are looking at they have a new site for a building.
We just don't know where.
We just don't know where. Max Domi's kind of good, I guess. Yeah. And, you know, they got Jacob Chychrun.
Oliver Ekman.
Oliver, he's not okay.
Anthony Duclair.
It doesn't 3 days.
It doesn't seem feasible from Stamkos' perspective. Also, since when would Arizona ever pay anybody $8.5 million a year?
He can be on the same team as Chris Pronger and Pavel Datsyuk.
That's true. That's an all-star group. Although he would be the one of the three.
He'd
who
be
would
the
play.
Only one playing. Yeah.
I just. As much as it seems like Arizona's going in a slightly different financial direction and are in a better spot, I still can't see them spending that much money on an individual player. And I also don't know if I'm Steven Stamkos. As much as the anonymity and the allure of playing in Arizona and living in Arizona and all of that would be, do you ever see, be perfectly honest with me, do you ever see the Arizona Coyotes raising a Stanley Cup?
Oh. Wow, you've asked me a lot of questions in your time. No.
It just doesn't seem feasible, right? Like, with the limitations of that market, even if they do move to a new site.
You know, I'll take Charlie Simmer on his word, because he worked down there, and he's long held the belief that if the building was just built in Scottsdale, we'd be talking about a totally different subject here. That it is location, 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 that they buried it out in Glendale, and as a result, it's kind of become that forgotten entity. If it was in Scottsdale, which is I think you've been to Scottsdale, haven't you?
I've never been to Scottsdale, no.
Okay. Scottsdale's terrific.
Yeah.
You know, lots of Calgarians. Oh, yeah, and they would glom onto it as their own. I mean, it'd still be called Arizona or Phoenix or whatever, but it would be supported. So if they go there, Pat, maybe all bets are off. But it is absolutely, it's hard. And I think that's that whole thing of, you know, the bias that we have right in front of us. All we know it really in the last decade is this, you know, group of plucky young players. At one point, Tippett, you know, managed to drag them into a Western Conference final. They've always overachieved, but it seems like with Band-Aids, paper clips, and duct tape, right? You know, The other part of this too is, I think there's a lot of superlatives being thrown out everywhere, and I think it, part of it includes here in Calgary. I think there's, you know, this is a busy week and everything, but, you know, this John Chyka is really aggressive. Chyka been aggressive? Getting Alex Goligoski is aggressive? Taking Jacob Chychrun when he's falling is aggressive?
Using your pick where you have it is aggressive?
Sorry, and I like Darren Millard as much as the next guy, but what am I missing on this?
I think there's a narrative.
Going out and
there.
Getting a smallish player, where, in the 7 hole? Where do they pick? And he may be, look, everybody talks about 2011. If you redraft that, Goudreau would go first overall. I get that. I'm not saying the kid won't work out. But I'm sorry, guys. I think there's a lot of words being tossed out.
I think the narrative is more that, I think there's a narrative out there that he's been trying to do a lot of things, that he's been, you know, aggressive. Okay. I think that's more what the narrative is, and I can't really tell you whether or not that's the truth or not.
Does that apply to Craig McTavish in his tenure in Edmonton as a general manager?
I don't know. I mean, he certainly said he was going to do big things. Never really materialized as such.
Could he go? Absolutely. I don't see how it's the right fit for Arizona, do you? Good player, but, you know, that's an awful lot of money for one guy that is going to what? I mean, Tampa's moving on from him with nothing to show for it, but how much worse are they going to be?
I think they will.
They're going to. He's a good hockey player, right. But what you have to pay for him on the open market is, I mean, does he give that? I'm not saying he's a bad hockey player, folks.
What is Stamkos to you? Because for me, he's a top 10 player in the NHL. What about for you? And I know this can be a contentious one.
Yeah, it can be. There are people
who don't see that at all.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he's the best free agent to come out in an awful long time. I think he's, because of age and all of that, I think he's even better than Parise or Suter and all of that. But I'm just so petrified of the dollars and the value you get in it now, because he's going to strike double digits, right? Don't you think, in free agency? If you're going to sign Steve Stamkos, isn't the AAV going to be north of 10?
Probably.
And if you're paying a guy north of 10.
Or maybe not north of 10, but at 10. I think it might end up there.
Has never, you know, the guys that have that attached to their name right now, for the most part, all have common denominator, have won.
Multiple times.
Kopitar,
Taves, Kane are the only three.
And eventually that ceiling gets broken, right? That's where you head with all of that. I mean, he'd have to be a perennial 50 goal, 110 point guy, and I just don't see that. I think he's a good leader. I think he wants to be a centerman. I don't know. Do you see him as a centerman?
Personally, yes, and I think that.
But you know the argument, right? Like, Tampa didn't see it necessarily that way.
No, and I think that they looked at their depth and said we can utilize him better on the wing.
Right.
Whereas I think you go to another team and put him at center and then use him on the wing on the power play.
Yeah.
I think that he can be. Cause I look at Stamkos and the way that he went from being kind of a limited player with incredible offensive upside to still being that incredibly gifted offensive player. We had Thomas Trantz on Hockey Central, and you take a look at, you know, just his accuracy year in, year out. Nobody in the league is within a percent of how accurate Steven Stamkos is. He's far and away the most accurate shooter in the NHL, but he's also turned into a very strong two-way player that can do it against anybody that's opposing him. So I think he works best as a center. And with Tampa, because of their depth, they could use him on the wing. I think him going to Toronto, you put him as a center. I think him going to Detroit, put him as a center.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. It's more the money for me. I think he's a heck of a hockey player. I really do. But we're now, we're going to be in a 31 team league here right away, and you know, I just look at, you know, some of the successes we're having league wide. You got to have star players. There's no doubt about it. I just don't know if I'm Arizona if he's the piece right now for that group.
Arizona, maybe not.
That's all I was looking at. You know, Detroit, Toronto. I mean, Toronto, I hate to say it, but Toronto is probably the most interesting place there because they're clearly trying to fast track this, right? You know, getting Freddie Anderson, whatever you believe, Anderson is at least an upgrade for them. You know, they're going to be able. I think the other nice thing about Stamkos, it would almost be like what McDavid's doing. And, you know, Stamkos, I'm sure, did it for Tampa Bay, but he's a great calling card, too. You're going to want to play with him.
Yep.
Right?
The Dark Horse team that I don't think will get him, but that's been thrown out there a couple of times, that is the most intriguing just from a how would that work standpoint,
Vancouver?
Would be the New York Islanders.
Oh, okay.
Because they're going to lose Okposo. Right?
And Franz Nielsen, by the way.
And probably Franz Nielsen as well. So right. They'll have the money to be able to do it. I think Nielsen would be a really nice acquisition for a lot of teams in this league. Wouldn't mind it here for sure. Although, yeah, anyway. They got a pretty good player who wears 11 here who kind of is the Franz Nielsen
never have
of
enough.
The Flames. But that's true. You never yeah, yeah. Really have enough.
Nice problem to have.
But you have Tavares as your number one center. Stamkos is your number two center.
But you're not going to have Tavares next year. He goes to Toronto, remember?
Well, but if Stamkos goes to the Islanders, then Tavares isn't going to go to Toronto. Then to have Tavares and Stamkos on the same power play.
I agree with
that. My goodness.
I agree with that, but I believe that the big story that is not being talked about right now that much is I think Brooklyn's becoming a difficult place. I think in and out and living around there and the transportation and stuff like that.
Oh, certainly. I don't think it's going to happen. It's one of those fringe teams that's been thrown out.
For sure.
Seems like there's the big three. Toronto, Detroit, Buffalo that we're focused in on.
Yeah.
And teams like Vancouver and Montreal and the Islanders, Arizona.
Vancouver intrigues me because I think Vancouver is motivated to do things. That is obviously.
But remember our chat on Thursday night?
Yes.
Like, what are you, Vancouver? Like, Stamkos is great. He'll make you a little bit more competitive next year. But what are you? Are you trying to stay competitive now, or are you going to go the route and actually rebuild? And I don't know if
They're $50,000 lighter in the pocket. At least their GM is the ruling
talking about down, Stamkos
for talking about Stamkos and talking about Subban. Thank you. Here's Jim Benning's quote on the Fine today. Last week, I was trying to be candid with our fans and media about our efforts to improve our team, but said too much about players on other teams. I've spoken personally to the NHL and the general managers involved to apologize, and I accept the league's ruling. So that came down today, which kind of bugs me a little bit because we all really enjoyed that candidness. That was fun. Are you kidding me? That was terrific.
It was definitely different.
Yeah. Stamkos is really interesting. In terms of where he, because there is a part of me that still thinks back to the Babcock stuff. Oh, he's going to Toronto. He's not going to Toronto.
That's where I am. Like, right? There's been so much smoke for years
right.
that I think eventually we're going to be able to trace it to a fire burning in the GTA. And I still think that when it's all said and done, he inks a deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, what's really interesting about Stamkos is, when was the last time, would you say Brad Richards or would you go Parise and Suter is the last time there was kind of this type of bidding war? Probably because Parise and Suter came after Richards, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And did they came out a couple of days after free agency began.
Right.
And same with Richards came out in day two.
Right.
But the difference there is that there was no courting period.
No.
So
And
it's something I keep forgetting
exactly.
And Will kept reminding me.
Exactly.
So I wonder if that the courting period doesn't make it more likely, and Will convinced me, and it was an easy convincing. Because at first I was like, oh, it probably is day two or day three that Stamkos decides, but maybe the courting period is enough for Stamkos to have his decision come Friday at 10 o'clock and be able at 10:01 to have put pen to paper.
Yeah, I somehow we managed to have guys sign at 12:02. Or 12:01, right? You know, in the past, I'm with you. I think that the courting period will probably provide us with a winner quickly. I just, you know, who's the best fit out there for Stamkos? Who, you know, Arizona, I know, and Chris Johnson's going to come on later. We'll talk about it with Chris.
I don't love that fit in Arizona. I'm with you there. I like it.
What
with
about
the
Detroit?
I'm not sure about Detroit. I don't know what the Red Wings are anymore.
Because they used to be that team that would get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that long ago, right?
And there's a lot of people who think he's going to Detroit. And right now, Detroit, Buffalo, and Toronto are the three teams that if he ends up there, I won't be surprised one bit.
And they don't, I don't think they like losing, that anybody likes losing, but I don't think that organization, they've been good for so long that with the new building coming around the corner, I don't think you can take them out of the Dylan Larkin's pretty impressive hockey player.
Do they have a number one center right now? I mean, Datsyuk's gone. Zetterberg's a hell of a hockey player
still.
But I don't think he's your number one center. So Stamkos probably plays center in Detroit.
Right. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking a little bit about the darkness downtown.
It's darker now.
Calgary is now under a severe thunderstorm warning capable of producing golf ball size hail. So if you can take cover and take all the appropriate necessities or necessary steps to protect your garden, your pets, and anything that might
yourself.
Get broken. Well, you know, it's that time of year, right?
I wore shorts to work, and I've got an 8-block walk home, so it'll be fun.
It was plus 15s around here, Pat.
Only to 8 till 7th Street, and then you're on your own.
Then you're kind of on your own. Milan Lucic, what do you make of it? Visiting Edmonton? Seems like
good chance he signs there.
I was told he was signing there. By people in hockey. Is that not what you've heard?
Absolutely. And it's been that way for a couple of weeks now. So this doesn't surprise me one bit. Neither does Jason Demers visiting there, because I think that he is a guy that probably makes sense with the Edmonton Oilers. So yeah, the Oilers need to improve themselves. There's no doubt about it. And Lucic playing with McDavid would be certainly interesting to watch.
It would be. But we had this conversation, didn't we, a while ago? Like, how many years would you give Milan Lucic?
I would probably ideally go 4. He's probably going to get 6.
I think you have to in this case, right?
Especially if you want him to come to Edmonton. And I don't say that as a pot shot from Calgary, but look, the Oilers are a team that, despite having Connor McDavid, haven't made the playoffs in, you know, closer to a decade than 5 years. Like we're going on almost a decade of being out of the playoffs. I think for Edmonton to attract, not because of their city or anything other than their hockey team, they have got to pay a little bit of a premium to attract players.
Interesting to see, too, that, you know, with the addition of Cassian and Maroon, more importantly, and McDavid's not a small guy, that team gets big real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Gets big real quick. This team drafted smaller players again.
The Flames?
Yeah.
A bit of it, which is kind of an interesting theme of the 9 players. I mean, Tkachuk is not...
No.
He's
no,
not
no.
small, but he's not what you would call like a hulking guy. He's 6'1". Like, he's solid 6'1".
Yeah.
But, yeah, Adam Fox and the Swedish player, Lindstrom, that they ended up drafting. He's a smaller, slighter guy. The Finnish guy, Tuola, that they drafted, he was there. Oh, boy.
Thick, too, right?
He is an imposing young man. I was like, goodness gracious. A, wasn't expecting him to be there, and B, wasn't expecting him to tower and hulk over me like he did. So that was kind of the biggest surprise of the guys that I saw at the draft.
So lots of free agent talk. Chris Johnson will join us later. I'm sure we're going to talk about that with him. And a reminder, this Friday we will have coverage of Free Agent Frenzy. July 1st, obviously, Canada Day is a big day for us. 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll kick it off. Our coverage brought to you by Adrenaline Source for Sports, 9309 McLeod Trail South. We'll take a break when we come back. Is everything okay, Blue Jays? Are you guys okay? You good? I mean, you had a great run there. You all right? Everybody good? Talk about Toronto when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Jays in Denver to take on the Rockies tonight. Marcus Stroman pitched on Sunday, so he's not really prevalent to the current storyline, but that didn't stop Greg Zahn, who was on our sister station, Fan 590 in Toronto today, who had a rather blunt assessment of Mr. Stroman.
Forget that it's Marcus Stroman. Forget that he is a former first-round pick. And ask yourself, would you put up with this kind of a performance for 8 straight starts from the guy other than Marcus Stroman? Who else on the team would be able to suck that bad for a quarter of the season without either losing your job or getting sent back to the minors? This is not a guarantee just because he's a first-round pick and because you like him, because you think Marcus Stroman is the real deal. There's no guarantee that he's going to be a star player. You think he's going to be. You're going to give him every opportunity. But I think 8 starts is a pretty darn loose leash.
Well, Greg, it's only going to work if you really loosen up and tell us what you think.
Could you at the very least be honest with us?
Yes.
Candid for once.
You used to play. Why don't you utilize that? Why don't you channel that into something we can take and run with? You were asked earlier on Three Burning Questions about Marcus Stroman. I believe it was Three Burning Questions.
Yeah.
And That whole last bit there about, you know, how long is the leash? I think the leash is a little bit longer for you. But it seems like we might be coming to a head here in Toronto as we end the month of June and head towards July in what has been somewhat of a roller coaster. Pat, they've lost six of their last 11 games, including last night, a game in which they had a lead and Drew Storen fell apart. The bullpen is a mess. Is that too much? I mean, are we just looking at one game and going off of that? But, you know, Marcus Stroman is not in the bullpen. We're talking about a starter there. Yeah. And that was the strength of this club for the first 3 months was the starting rotation.
And it is. It's still Hap's
going for his 10th win tonight, which
Hap's been good. Right. Estrada's been great, you know.
Yeah. But Stroman now beginning to look like a leaky boat. And can you put him in AAA? I think you can. Shouldn't you put him in AAA? Don't you owe it to him to try and rectify this?
Not yet for me.
Okay.
But I do think it's something that they could absolutely think about going forward if this doesn't rectify itself. I think you do give the guy a longer leash, not because he's Marcus Stroman, but because he's part of, because he is supposed to be at the top of your rotation. And right. I think whether it's Marcus Stroman or Rob Kerr or whoever, if you are a guy supposed to be at the top of the rotation, you're there for a reason. And so you are given a little bit more of a wide berth and you are given a little bit more time to work things out. Now, if we're talking, and I still think it's 3 or 4 or 5 starts until you go down that road to AAA. Now, if it doesn't start to rectify itself over the next month, then yeah, I think that maybe you do go that
okay
road.
And let me pick a fight with you here.
Sure.
4 or 5 more starts, where does that put you? That puts you to the end of July, right? That puts you, you know, at trade deadline. And I know that we're not talking about trading Marcus Stroman. I get that part. But what you are talking about is somewhat of a tipping point of what you do with this season. Now, Marcus Stroman alone can't sink you, but he's not helping you right now. Can it be that long of a leash, Pat? Should it maybe be 1 or 2 more starts before you, you know, give him an opportunity to go somewhere else? Or is Buffalo the issue, or is just maybe skipping a start maybe what? You know, can you solve this by just having him sit one?
Maybe. I mean,
it almost seems too simplistic to me. Like, it seems to me it's a confidence issue. What's his ERA now? And, like, it's up over 7,
yeah,
right?
It's not good at all.
So we're not talking about, this isn't a quarterback who's not reading defenses. You can't just pull him to the side and go take a look. This strikes me as somebody that needs to go and pitch and get confidence back. And maybe that's against weaker hitting, and that's how you gain it. But can you afford that 1 month window to allow him? Or do you have to, if you're the Jays, do something quicker because you have some decisions to make?
I still, for me, I'd still give it a little bit of a wider berth. Just because, first of all, he pitched all right to start the season.
He did.
We know what he's capable of when he's on.
Right.
And I think that...
So do you buy... Let me... Because I'm throwing a lot at you here, but yeah. let me come at it this way. Do you believe that this is the typical... Guy goes through the league once, then they figure him out. Now they've got a book on him. I mean, he's pitched in the league. It's not like he's a rookie. It's not like he came out of nowhere. But he was really good, to your point, at the start of the season. Now he's starting to face some of the same teams again, and they're hitting him.
And there might, I think there's absolutely something to that. I also think he just doesn't have great stuff right now. I don't think he's pitching very well. I don't think he's locating very well right now. So I think there's a little bit of that. And I do think he's capable of working his way out of it. And I think he's capable of working his way out of it this season. And if it doesn't happen in the next 3 or 4 starts, then right. Yeah, if Buffalo's the way you got to go for a couple of weeks,
yeah.
then do that. I guess for me, I'm just not worried about the long term of Marcus Stroman. I'm not at the point yet where I'm concerned that he's not going to be good for you.
Oh, no.
Over the stretch of the next 5 years.
Absolutely. And in fairness to Greg Zahn, I don't think he was thinking that either. I think it's just, okay, he's not working right now. What do you do? To me, what do you do? You know, what is the assessment? Is the assessment to go and put him down in the minors and get some starts, get some confidence? Do you sit him out? Do you just work? Other guys have been given the opportunity to work through. I mean, every year, do we not watch R.A. Dickey work through it in April and May?
He had the whole first half of the season to work through it last year and then was one of the better pitchers in the majors in the second half of the season. So I guess I just feel like, yeah, has Marcus Stroman been good his last 8 starts? Definitely not. And does he need to be better as the top of the rotation guy for the Blue Jays, 100%, right. But I would give him a little bit more time to try and work through it at this point. And I get the feeling the Blue Jays will give him a little bit more time to work through it.
Just a reminder, everybody, that Calgary right now is, and Calgary and area, is under a severe thunderstorm warning. It's in effect for Calgary. Will's mom called, and it's raining up in Tuscany. So we appreciate that. Doppler radar indicating this is a severe thunderstorm located around Canada Olympic Park and moving towards the southeast. So
what does the Stevenson screen say?
Well, I don't know, Pat. I haven't had a chance to visit the Stevenson screen, but I can tell you this. The RH would be way up right now, for sure. The winds would be interesting to track, too, because they're probably coming back on top of us now.
It's your weather update.
It's your weather update.
That's Rob's forestry background.
What about the bullpen, though? Because it seems to me that the conversation... Of all of the issues right now, I get it. Marcus Stroman may be the sexiest, but the death blow to this team very well could come from the bullpen if things don't turn around right.
Well, and it has shown signs of slowly improving, and last night was not good at all. But it's shown signs.
But that's why you said slowly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's still room to take steps back, and there's definitely room and a desire for a lot of steps forward. But yeah, it's shown signs of being better now than it was in April and May. For
right.
Sure, at the end of June, it's better than it was at the beginning of May, but it still is something that is not a strength of this team, which is too bad, because you kind of thought coming into the season, you know, with Loop and Cecil and Osuna and acquiring Storen.
And don't forget the amphibious pitcher, Venditti.
And Gavin Floyd, and you kind of thought to yourself, and is it amphibious?
No, it's not.
Amphibious, that means you are on land and water.
Well, no, it means that he's not a reptile. He's a different type.
Ambidextrous,
yeah. No, but the one headline was amphibious pitcher.
Was there a
You didn't see that?
No.
Well, put it in the Google machine for Pat. Oh, yeah, great headline, amphibious pitcher.
That great underwater.
That would be something
fantastic.
Else if you're amphibious. Good
sorry,
for
I
you.
Thought. Sorry, I thought you were up on that.
No, that's
I
awesome.
Thought, no. Okay, even more of an idiot than normal. But no, I'm actually quoting an actual headline.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Pat Venditti, amphibious pitcher.
It's got to be a first for everything. I thought it was going to be more of a strength for them. I was more confident in their bullpen coming into the season than I was in the rotation.
Right.
And it's gone the complete opposite. You know, rotation has been a pleasant surprise. You know, specifically with Happ, Estrada, and Sanchez, it's been a pleasant surprise.
Okay, there's the one guy we haven't talked about in all of this, Sanchez. Because, you know, the plan is he goes to the bullpen. But with Stroman struggling right now, does that change? Does that alter? Everybody says no. But the way he's pitching, he'd be a boon to that.
Two things right now.
Yeah.
Do they acquire another starter prior to July 31st? And if they are, what are they right now? In terms of the division. Like, they're still very much in the playoff hunt, not anywhere near as close to the top of the division as they were a few weeks ago.
Right.
Even a week ago. But they're still very much in a playoff hunt. So right now they are five and a half games back of Baltimore on top of the American League East, and they're a half game back of the second wild card spot in the American League. So they're in the playoff picture.
Well, yeah, and Boston's free falling right now.
Exactly. So they're very
they're in the conversation. They're absolutely in the conversation, which is you're in the conversation. You managed to stay in the conversation with these two issues. To your point, do you go get starting pitching?
There's a chance they do.
I think you have to.
And I don't think it's David Price. You know,
you're not going on getting
another ace, but if you can get a guy for a few different reasons. If you can go get a guy who is, you know, can you slot, and Will and I have talked about this before,
yeah.
But if you can slot in as another number 3, 4, 5 guy in that yes. range, it will allow you to potentially
if you could find somebody's Marco Estrada.
Yeah, and I mean, even if it doesn't, because I mean, Estrada last year was their number two guy in a lot of ways.
Right.
Or
a J.A. Happ.
If you can find another Happ, that's like somebody who was more towards the bottom of the rotation, you can plug in right away. It does a couple of things. It potentially allows you to put Sanchez in the bullpen. It potentially allows you not to have R.A. Dickey on your playoff roster, because I wouldn't feel overly comfortable having Dickey start a game in the postseason at this point. And
what about Drew?
And then and that was the second thing.
Yeah.
Then you've got Drew Hutchison, and where do you see him? Because is Hutchison an option that you can use here to allow Stroman to go to Buffalo?
And this might be hockey thinking more than baseball thinking. But as I'm thinking about this Marcus Stroman thing, that's why I wonder if it wouldn't be better with a month to go before the trade deadline, sending Stroman down to Buffalo, recalling Hutchison, giving him his starts, letting Stroman find his way down there, evaluate what you got in Hutchison, because really you need to know once you get past July 30th, the end of July, that's it, right? Either you're in it or you're out.
Yep.
And maybe that gives you an opportunity. Speaking of the Jays, I am really getting tired of the real world screwing around with what we do here in sports. There is a situation right now. There's an active shooter in downtown Denver, 5 blocks from Coors Field. Denver police have closed the area, but not the stadium area, another situation, a shooting in downtown Denver.
And if you go and take a look at reports right now, there's conflicting reports as to whether or not the shooter's been neutralized or if he's still active. Like, there's all kinds of conflicting reports on Twitter right now. Apparently, the latest report is one person hospitalized.
Okay.
After reports of a shooting in downtown Denver. So very little is known right now.
Yeah.
But
and obviously the most important thing is that they get that solved and everybody's safe before we worry about the baseball game. We are scheduled to carry the baseball game tonight, but that's the latest.
6:41 pitch.
Yeah. And the other thing, as we've just mentioned, there is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for the city of Calgary. You know, sometimes when life gets you down, you can use a laugh. That's why we're so glad Jack in the Comedy Cave is back. Jack and his folks put on just a great show at the Comedy Cave, 9206 McLeod Trail South, comedycave.com. We have been there. We are customers of the Comedy Cave. And this we know, every time you go, you have a great time. So check out the Comedy Cave. When we come back, clean up a few flames. We've hardly talked about the local hockey heroes outside of the goaltending. We'll come back and talk a little Flames around the corner. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. You know, next NHL season is still a ways away, but at least one person thinks that Matt Tkachuk could make the jump to the Flames. Or does he? Here's Keith Tkachuk.
I think he thinks he's ready, and he wants to be ready. And, you know, you got to kind of caution this answer because it's, you know, I believe in him, and I love him, and I want to see him do well. But, you know, you still have, you know, the month of July and the month of August. And he had a late start because of Memorial Cup, and he's still battling a little bit of an ankle injury. So he's going to do everything in his power to make it tough for, you know, the coaching staff to send him back. And I guess I'll leave it at that. You know, he's still a young boy. He is still a young boy. And to rush, it's, you know, it's out of my control, which I feel like I'm just a fan now, and that's all I want to be. I just want to be here to support him.
Keith Tkachuk on the morning show talking about his son, Matt, who the Flames took from London in the 6th round of the NHL draft in Buffalo over the weekend on Friday. Surprised? You go back all the way? I didn't think they were getting Tkachuk.
When did I think they were going to get Tkachuk?
I'll tell you exactly when I thought they were going to get Tkachuk. When I saw Vancouver walking up and the man in the brown suit was there. It reminded me of that anything can happen. Weisbrod.
That's right.
Right? When I saw Weisbrod going up there, because of course I was at the Flames season ticket holder event kind of helping them out. And remember we were talking about the lottery. You know, geez, Flames fans have got to be disappointed that they fell backwards. Well, yeah, they probably do, but the numbers said that was the probability. There was a greater probability of going to 6 than picking at 5.
Yep.
But the point at the time was, you know, Flames fans would, you know, why not them? Why not catch a break?
Yeah.
And then you watch Dubois get picked by...
That's when it first hit for me. I was like, okay, Dubois just went at three.
Right.
And because the feeling was, because Labardius had been told in Buffalo, and he had said this on the air, and so our feeling was that Edmonton was going to go Sergachev at 4. And
really?
that was the hot.
Really,
Labardius
okay.
was told that Sergachev was their guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so you didn't buy any of that crap that Shirelli or any of the. Oh no, we expected this. So we were prepared for this. They didn't even have a name on bar on the jersey,
no,
did they?
They sure didn't. And because they were going and like that was confirmed. Like a couple of people said, yeah, they were going Sergachev out of Windsor. So when Columbus went Dubois, then all of a sudden you couldn't go Sergachev because you've got Puljujarvi falling to you right there. So they go with Jesse Puljujarvi. So I thought at that point, I'm like, okay, Well, nothing really has changed because Tkachuk was always going to be available at 4-5, and he was still available at 4-5, but what are the Canucks going to do? And there was a lot of talk that the Canucks were enamored about a defenseman. So as much as it seemed like Tkachuk, I was about 60-40 at that point that they were going to go with Joleve and the Flames. So it was somewhere in that range that I was like, they're going to get Tkachuk.
But would you agree that that's probably one of the, I don't know if break is the right word, but something went the Flames' way in this. I mean, nothing wrong with Sean Monahan or Sam Bennett. I don't want to profess. But being at the draft, this seems like the first time in a while that, you know, something early on kind of went their way. Things, you know, I wouldn't say that they, you know, I often wonder if...
Like, things didn't go against them for Bennett and Monahan.
No, but you would admit that something broke their way this time, right? Maybe that's the best way to put it. Because the other two guys are great. There's nothing wrong with them, and they're happy to have them. But you know, I remember talking to Lou at the Memorial Cup, and we were both saying he's not going to be there. You know,
I didn't think he was going to be there either. Like going into the draft, I thought it was going to be Logan Brown or Alexander Nylander,
and I thought it was going to be
Joleve. And then you thought Joleve,
yeah.
I'm glad they got a forward.
I'm glad
they got a winger. I thought whether it was a center or a forward, regardless, I thought that was because at first I was like, no, go defenseman. But as I thought more about it, forward made more sense to me because they don't have who's their top. Matthew Tkachuk is now, but prior to the draft, who was their top prospect forward?
Mangiapane,
Jankowski, Shinkarik. Like those would be. But of the three of them, you know, there's not really a true blue chipper.
Right? And he comes in as a blue chipper.
Exactly,
he comes in as a blue chipper. So you know the rest of the draft, and you were there. We played the clips yesterday from Todd Button. I guess the one guy that little surprised they took a goalie where they took a goalie, but. You know, great explanation from Todd Button on why they took him where they took him.
Yep.
And he certainly, you can never have enough, right?
Man, Todd Button had some really good stories.
He did.
Hey?
He like really did.
Like, first of all, on how they put the list together, I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
But then, and then talking after the draft about how, you know, they weren't really thinking about taking a goaltender. And then all of a sudden there was kind of like, they were thinking about taking Parsons at 35.
Yep.
Were they?
Well, like, he said it would have been a battle.
Yeah.
It definitely would have come up, but I got to ask you about the one kid and I apologize. Was Fox there?
Yes. Fox was there. Yes. Okay. He was at the draft physically. Yeah.
Okay. This is the guy that intrigues me out of this draft. This reminds me a little of the Brandon Hickey draft, a little less of the Johnny Gaudreau. I think that's a tough spot to put a kid in. But certainly where I thought it was interesting was not the Flames publicity on this and not Flames people are connected, but people elsewhere just watching some of the stuff coming out of the draft going, oh, the Flames got somebody in this Fox kid. This is a kid, you know, this is another one that I think a lot of teams were trying to mine away and take later.
Well, and the Flames were thinking about doing that too, because what was really interesting, the player they took afterwards, Linus Lindstrom out of Sweden, they had Fox and Lindstrom basically right at the top of their list. And so Lindstrom went way lower than they had him on their list, but they had Lindstrom and Fox kind of right there, and Lindstrom a little bit higher than Fox on their list, but they thought there was a better chance of getting Lindstrom in the fourth round than getting Fox in the fourth round. So they let Lindstrom drop and didn't take the player tops on their list. They went with Fox instead. Because they didn't think he would still be there in the fourth round for the reasons you just talked about.
Is part of the yin and the yang to a draft, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have to, it's all fine and well to put a list together, but there is a little gamesmanship there. And again, a kid we're going to see go to Harvard, I believe, correct?
Yes, he's committed to Harvard for next year.
Okay.
Really, really bright kid.
Okay.
And whether you talk to, it was funny because Brian Burke was sitting with me as they made the pick, and he talked about how, hey, he's smaller than we like to have usually a defenseman, but he's so skilled and so smart that we had to pick him. Brad Treliving talked about that, and Todd Button talked about that. Everybody you talk to about Adam Fox raves about his hockey sense and the way he thinks the game, and it seems like those things are very much able to trump the quote-unquote lack of size. He's not a huge guy. He's not a tiny guy either, but there's more smaller defensemen that are able to, you know, you take a look at the Minnesota Wild, Spurgeon. He's a smaller defenseman. Yep. He's a pretty successful guy. You know, Brian Campbell. And like this day and age, it's easier to succeed as a smaller defenseman than it was 10 years ago. So I like the pick quite a lot. A lot of people are excited about it.
Yeah, a couple years from now, I don't think this fall, Pat, but I think in a couple of falls, there's going to be some interesting kids at camp on the blue line with Hickey being there, Anderson and Shillington being a little older. Yep. You know, I you know, if you're going to Harvard, there's a good chance this kid may see it out, and good on him if he does. One last one on the draft, and then I want to ask you about Chaisson. The Mattson kid out of Minnesota, where's his commitment to?
He is going to North Dakota.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. A slouch program that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah. So I had to think about that. But yeah, I was talking to him about, because he's a Minnesota kid.
Yep. Played Ivan Hlinka, right? For the U.S.?
Yes. Grand Rapids High School is where he's out of.
Yeah.
And he is...
So is he going to North Dakota this year, or is he going to play a year in the USHL?
He's committed to North Dakota for next year. At least as he told me on Saturday. So committed to North Dakota for next year.
Yesterday, the Calgary Flames made a small deal picking up Alex Chiasson from the Ottawa Senators in exchange for Pat Seeloff. And as I said yesterday, all we will ever remember of Patrick Seeloff is his game in Minnesota, in which he went from behind his own net, beat all five skaters, and then roofed it over Darcy Kemper for the game winner.
He's a point-per-game NHL player.
Which is not at all how that goal went in, but that is neither here nor there. And I love Seeloff as a just to talk to. I mean, I've never met a more enthusiastic kid and driven kid. Just doesn't look like it's going to happen at the National Hockey League level, and that's nothing. Maybe a new start for him. But a new start is what the Flames will offer Alex Chiasson. What do you make of the move?
I don't love it, but I don't hate it. Like it seems like a very measured and understandable deal. They have depth issues on the wing.
That's a good way of putting it.
Depth issues on the wing.
Yep.
He's not, I don't think, coming in here with expectations to be a top sixer. And he's not coming in here with great statistics. His numbers have gone down since a decent first year in Dallas. And since that time, they've gone down. But they need more NHL players on the wing. And they need affordable NHL players on the wing. Well, $800,000 affordable. Pat Seeloff was, you just talked about the Fox, Shillington, Anderson, Hickey. Patrick Seeloff's lost in the
shuffle. They're not even here yet, and he's lost.
Exactly.
Yeah, Watherspoon.
And you throw in a couple of others, he's lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
So he didn't really have a whole lot of value in the organization. They were able to turn a guy who didn't have a lot of value in the organization into something that could address a need. Is Chiasson a bona fide top sixer? No. But is he a bona fide NHL winger? Yeah. And that's an area of need. So I like, it's a measured deal. It's a no risk, almost a no risk deal. That, so yeah, I like it. Don't love it. I like it.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's part of getting your business done, right? It's part of getting your business done. I don't think we're talking about a straight up reclamation project. I think there's elements of a reclamation project, but he still played, 76 games or whatever it was last year in the National Hockey League. We're not talking about, 77 games last year. We're not talking about somebody who's coming off the trash heap looking for their last chance. Although, if it doesn't work here, that's my guess would be the next stop.
The guy, and the other interesting thing is the way he was utilized in Ottawa.
Oh, please.
He was basic, I think, 33% in year one, 25% in year two in terms of offensive zone starts. Like, he was hammered with defensive responsibility, not really put in a situation to create offense. So,
well, and that's not a bad thing either if you trust him in that situation.
You can have a guy that you trust in that situation. Now,
he wants to kill penalties here too.
And he did that with the Senators. All reports suggest not a great power play option, but on the penalty kill, he can help you there. But it's not like he wasn't incredible in those tough defensive situations, but he wasn't completely destroyed on the ice either. So you can have a guy that you can put out. You know, I kind of, to be honest with you, I see Chiasson as right now a guy that you probably.